Welcome to Ladies Talking Leafs. I'm Chris.
And I'm Sil.
And it's crazy that we are in season two of our podcast. And this is now our 25th episode overall, not in season two. This is our ninth episode in season two, but it's number 25 total from when we started back in September 2019. And we've only had seven episodes in what is or was a normal environment, whatever that means, I guess, right? But because our first remote podcast was April 1st of 2020. So, Sil and I have been separated. Before, we were always driving to each other's houses. In some ways, it's made it easier, but in other ways, it's kind of not.
It's definitely different. Yeah, it's hard to believe. And when you put it that way, it kind of shocked me a little bit. And I'm like, yeah, wow, like that's totally true that really we were a fledgling outfit when we first had to, you know, find a way to get together remotely.
Yeah.
And we managed to tough it out through this whole pandemic time. It's been a heck of a ride so far. And we're just excited to see what the next 25 episodes will bring. And with that, we are so thankful that we have you, our listeners and our followers on social media, who have tuned in religiously to our podcast throughout these pandemic times and even before that. And a special shout out to one of our listeners and followers on Twitter, at Gully Blanchard. We appreciate you so much.
Yeah, that's for sure. And also shout out to Jim Mackey, who follows us on Facebook. And he's also our first follower on our Ko-fi page.
Woohoo! Welcome, Jim.
Yeah. And so, and we got lots of good stuff on our Ko-fi page. It's ko-fi.com, coffee.com. It's another way to connect with us. So check out our page. And it's ko-fi.com/LTL1917. And follow us there. You can find the link on our social media profile pages and our Buzzsprout website page. And if you want to make a donation, that's great. If not, you can just look at the stuff that we put on there and it's just another way to connect with us.
Mm-hmm. So here we are at episode 25, and the Leafs are getting close to game 25 of this season, so which will be Thursday versus Vancouver. So since our last episode, the team has dealt with some adversity with injuries and players looking to find their game. So let's get into what we have for this show. So, of course, we are going to be talking the good, the bad, and the ugly. We have a next installment of the Ladies Talking Leafs highlight reel. And, of course, what's coming up for the blue and white. And then we have a special little tidbit for you, a soup special for our 25th episode. So without
you won't want to miss that.
Yeah, don't miss that. So without any further ado, let's talk Leafs.
So the good, the bad, and the ugly. Let's go with that. So the good, I'll go first. Mm-hmm. The good is the overall team record. So I know we talk about this maybe more, or we're thinking of this more as singling out players. But to me, I don't know. It was after that first game versus Calgary. It was funny, where we lost 3-0, mm-hmm. I think it was. Yes. And we went 0-7 on the power play. And I was just so pissed off after that game. And I was like, okay, wait a minute, Christine. Like, calm down. Because this team is like, at that point, I guess, right now they're 16-4-2. And they have 34 points. Tops in the North Division and the league. And they were tops in the North Division and the league back then as well. And I'm thinking, why am I getting so pissed off with this sort of thing? Like, I'm like, is it the injuries? Maybe I'm thinking to myself, like, what is making me so pissed off about that game? And And then I was like, I started getting, again, we were taking up all the stats in the like Sportsnet stats and NHL PR stats. Like through our first 21 games of the season, we have 32 points, which ranks second in franchise history. We got 33 points in 21 games in 1934-35. So that's one stat. Then another stat under Sheldon Keefe, we're now 42-19-8, which is fourth best in the NHL since November 21st, 2019. So, I mean, you can't complain right now, given obviously, too, it's the pandemic. And and I was like, okay, I just need to, whatever, take a chill pill and just be happy with the way it is right now.
Yeah. No, I know it's hard because I think for Leafs Nation, I think our default is always to criticize, to find fault. And we've never been, like, none of us, pretty much, that are alive right now, have ever been in this position where our team is tops, like, ever. So maybe part of it is we just don't know how to be with that because it's just never happened. Also, I think part of it is that is the format this year because it's division only. There's, you know, a little bit, I think, in the back of our minds, we're like taking it with a grain of salt because we don't know how we stack up against the rest of the league right now. And so I think that is part of it. But yeah, you're 100% right that we should be reveling in this, like, for sure, because this is incredible. I mean, there's, you know, knock on wood, we're talking potential President's Trophy. And that's not that I really want that because there's bad luck with that. But
yeah.
It's something that, you know, that we the other in teams, our lifetime have not really seen.
Yeah, and the other, I guess, I was looking today and there's Tampa, Florida, Washington, they all have games, they're right behind us and they all have games in hand on us. So, I mean, the first in the league, like you said, we don't really want that because it doesn't bring as much, doesn't bring too much luck to the team that gets that. So, but tops in the North Division, hey, like, yeah, we'll take that. And we've only had the four losses, so, like, anyways.
I mean,
so, yeah, that was my good.
Yeah, like 100%. And I think that we should be celebrating that more. I mean, I there's a lot of analysts that, you know, do, like, I think the Leafs Nation used to be, you know, made fun of a lot because, you know, we're always booking the parade and da 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 da. But, like, we are all much, very much realists now and to the point where we're a little bit to the negative. So, I think that we do need to appreciate what these guys are doing. And it's not just the Stars. I mean, like look at that game on Saturday against the Oilers. I mean, you know, we didn't have one of our stars and it was a real team effort. So the more games like this that we're putting together, I mean, that's the winning formula, right? So yeah, I agree with you that that is more than good, the record right now.
And what's your good?
So my good, actually, I'm pointing to Joe Thornton for my good. And I know it seems kind of odd because over the last 2 weeks, you know, he has been out again, right? So, the last episode we did was on Family Day, so the 15th. And that night was the night that he came back into the lineup. And he produced right away, and that line was just on fire. So I think all three of them had a multi-point game, and he had a goal and a couple of assists. And it just looked great, the three of them, because I think we were even talking about, you know, wondering whether or not we really thought he should be on that line. But he is doing some special things, and I just I love the fact that he is so smart. He is very economical in the way he plays because those guys are super fast and he just knows where to be so that he doesn't have to always be chasing the play, but he's also creating and making it easier for them. So what do you think about that?
Yeah. No, I mean, what can you say about him coming? He's a older guy, obviously. So there's the intangibles that he brings to,
for sure.
Right? Like into the, just having him there just makes, it's just like, it's Spezza too, sort of thing. Like, not to, we're talking about Joe Thornton, but I just
find
don't
take away his I know, don't thunder, take away, man.
Okay, I won't go into Svezza then. So, but yeah, no, I actually think, though, that Jumbo Joe, they might be actually putting him because of this issue with Matthews and his wrist and being out, and I don't think he's going to play tonight. Again, we're doing this on the Monday night before the Oilers, the late game. But I think he's actually going to be possibly playing with Tavares and Marner. I think Keith is going to try and spread Marner out a bit and the offense a little bit in the next little while. But no, yeah, he came back from injury on that February 15th game, produced great, and then he came back again, and he produced again, like when he came back the night on Saturday with Tavares, and he just had, and that was kind of funny because it's like, I mean, John Tavares obviously is not as old as as Thornton, but they seem to have like a good I guess chemistry, a little bit of a chemistry, and they were talking to each other. They're veteran players, so they know how to.
Love that shot of Thornton, Tavares, and Svezza, the three of them together on the bench. Did you see that picture?
Yes, yeah.
Like that is just hilarious. So, like, yeah, and I think somebody put it on social media. Like, what would you have thought of this if you saw this picture from the future in 2014?
Oh my god, yeah, I don't know, yeah, we'd probably say you're crazy probably, yeah, but
never happened.
I just hope he can stay healthy again, like, because I don't know what was wrong that he, like they said, it was lower body injury that he went out for the one or two games versus Calgary, and then he came back again, so hopefully good health is the main thing, but we got a good medical team staff there, so hopefully we'll be good that way. All right,
so let's move on to the bad. So what's your bad, Chris?
Okay, so my bad, and I don't want to ramble on again, but this is
okay. I'll cut you off.
You can cut me off. I've told her this before, listeners. I've told her to cut me off, but the trade rumors and the contract talk again for people that are, coming up for contract renewals and UFA status and all that, that to me is bad. I think, like, we just need to, like we said, with the good and the overall team record, we just need to focus on that and focus on what's happening now, because I think really we talked about this before and a lot of people, I think, agree too, that the Shannon plan, there is basically this core four. They're giving it one more final time, basically, this season to see if they can do something in the playoffs. That's the regular season is like a practice sort of, right? Even though it's serious, but it's kind of like a practice. You're mixing, matching, seeing who can go with what, and obviously you want to be tops in the division, which we are. So everything is going good. Why keep talking about trade rumors? And once again, of course, Willie has been the focus of the trade rumors. And I just thought it was interesting after when Keith benched Nylander in the third period versus Montreal. I didn't even notice it actually until after the game when they said it. But anyways, I didn't notice he wasn't there, whether or not it's good or bad. I don't know. But he's ever since then, I think that it finally, like, something clicked into Willie's to say, okay, you know, like, he definitely has he's just that streaky type of player. That's
no, totally.
He is. But I don't know. I actually thought maybe, like, if that didn't work, the benching, I thought he would get a trip to the press box. I thought that was the next thing for him. But then he scored the overtime goal versus the Flames. He got the power play goal on Saturday night versus the Oilers to get us started. So yeah, and I just think, I mean, a couple of the things that I've heard about trades was, which I thought was ridiculous. The link will be in our show notes if the listeners want to have a look at it. But it was Philip Forsberg in Nashville.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I mean, I guess we don't know a lot about, I mean, a lot of people from the comments that I got on Twitter and replies, a lot of people are very high on Philip Forsberg, and I think he's been their top goal scorer for I don't know how long, but they were saying the trade rumor was for us to get Philip Forsberg, who's 26 years old, And he has 1 year left, I think, on his contract after this season. But basically for Willie, Travis Dermott, and I forget the third player. But I thought to myself,
do you really think Philip Forsberg is that much better than Willie? Like, I don't see that.
No, I think Willie just has to get his head on straight and play the way he can play. And he's fine. But I would not do that deal.
No, not in
the other. The other part that I heard recently was Ricard Raquel, who's in Anaheim, which I know he's a Leaf killer he always scores again. I always remember that name, even though we don't watch Anaheim that much, but when they play the Leafs, he seems to show up. And so he is a good player. He actually does have a decent contract. He's like getting paid $3.7 million. And he has a year left after this year. They just said that he's kind of like on the radar, that inquiring has happened. But I just don't think that we should be talking about those things when the team is going like well right now. Like it's, and especially with the injuries that we haven't had a full team either. Right.
Totally. So,
yeah. And one player, I think, that we need to just mention is Alex, who we did get in a trade, which is kind of weird, is this Alex Galchenyuk. So that's this is his seventh NHL team, if you can believe it. And he was in the same draft class as Morgan Riley, which in 2012, he was picked third and Riley was picked fifth, which I thought was kind of interesting. But I mean, most of Leafs Nation, from what I read, like most of us, we didn't think, where is this guy going to fit in? And we still can't figure it out. They're really handling him with a bit of kid gloves, because like they've sent him to the Marlies now to try and find his game and for him to kind of, it's kind of like they are handling him like this is his final opportunity if he's going to make it in the NHL again.
Yeah.
Otherwise he'll probably go back to the KHL, I guess, or give it a try there. But
I think they're really working to try to get his development back on track, because he seems to have lost his confidence or lost his way somehow, right?
But I just think when it comes to trades and that, like, there's just so much, like, with this pandemic and the salary cap and then the Seattle expansion, and then don't get me on the goaltending situation right now, because once again, like, I mean, I love Jack Campbell, but like he's played great for us when he's been in there, but it's 8 games now. And I know that he's played fantastic, let's say in all 8 games, I think. But Freddie is our number one. So I don't know, these people that just think that all of a sudden Jack Campbell is going to be our number one goalie just because of the whole contract. Like, look who has won the majority of games this season for us, right? Like, in combination with the team, it's been Freddie. It's not been Jack Campbell. Right. And that's not his fault. But I don't know. I just don't. I guess I'm a little bit worried, too, with Freddie's demeanor. We've talked about this before, and the way whether or not having a backup that's going to push him is really a good thing for him. And yeah. So again, we love Freddie. We're Freddie's promoters. But yeah, because then there was the talk about his contract, and it's like, oh, well, we can just forget about like Frederik Andersen. Like, he can go off into the sunset, and Jack Campbell is going to be our number one. Yeah, sure, after he's played 8 games.
Yeah. Well, right. Like, you know, let's not get into that part too much, because we could go on and on and on about it. But yeah, like the whole point is that, you know, back to what we were talking about before, is that those are things that I think that Leafs Nation is so used to talking about those things, because we're always trying to find solutions. But people just don't get that it's not really that necessary right now to be searching and looking. What you should be looking at is the team on the ice and enjoying what you've got there. Like, we should be enjoying the fact that Freddie is our go-to and we have a great backup for the first time in decades. You know,
and
like,
we just need both of them to be healthy. That's all.
Exactly. And this is exactly what you want.
Yeah.
So, I think that it's it's unnecessary to be spending so much time on that kind of stuff. But you know, that's all anybody's had to talk about for the last, you know, five plus years, right? So yeah. We're used to and it. It's kind of our what we do.
Leafs Nation does. Yeah. And just a quick note, trade deadline day is April the 12th for our listeners.
So got a little over a month.
I don't think anything's going to happen though because of the whole quarantine situation as well.
Well, so. I mean, if we were to do something, Dubas generally doesn't like to wait till the last minute anyways. Yeah. And given the whole quarantine issue, likely he would try to pull I would say that if he was going to do something, it would be a month from now, like the beginning of April. And that would give like 14 days or whatever to get that person in the lineup if they were going to trade outside of the division kind of thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. And yeah, so what's your bad?
So my bad is it's a little bit of a conceptual thing, philosophical thing. I don't know what you want to call it, but my pet peeve right now is with the whole concept of the stay ready squad or the taxi squad. I'm just finding that, you know, one of the things that was really, really a benefit to our organization is when the Marlies, basically we have the Marlies down the road at Rico Coliseum, and Sheldon Keefe at the time when he was the coach, he had them working on the same things and all of the you know, game prep, all of that stuff. They was pretty much preparing that AHL team just like it was, just like the big club was, so that it would be seamless when they would come up from there. What I'm finding is with this, with the taxi squad situation, which I guess, you know, it's necessary with the whole COVID thing, I get it, but I do find it's a detriment to those players that are kind of stuck in that limbo because they're kind of up and down, up and down. They can't get any flow. They're not in for multiple games at a time generally. And I don't think that a lot of the time they seem to be able to develop their game, and that's where some of that stuff seems to be lacking, and we're seeing mistakes and inconsistent play and stuff like that. So I do find that this system, hopefully it's only going to be for this year and that this pandemic does not stretch out even longer, because I find it's not great for the players that are kind of on that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think they may, or they should have realized that, I guess, from before, but because it's really just there for emergency purposes in the case of injuries, right? And
of course, we've had a lot of them.
And so, lucky for them, whoever's on there is kind of going in and out, back and forth. But I don't know. We were talking before, I guess, as to who's on there. And right now, I think, I think VC tonight is probably going to be part of that taxi squad. I think he's going to be benched for these. And Nick Patan is going to be in for this second game versus the Oilers. Mm-hmm. But there's Liljegren, D'Agostino, and Lehtinen. And then Joseph Woll, I think, is the goalie that's on there. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. He can't. That's just something that the league, I guess, had to do because of the situation with the AHL, and it isn't. Yeah, no. At least Nick Robertson can actually play though down in the AHL. Be given
true, glad about that. So yeah, at least he can play. Yeah, but I mean, for example, like a guy like Lehtinen, don't you think he would get more benefit playing in the AHL for the Marlies right now than sitting on that stupid squad? Like as far as getting used to the game here,
I don't even think that he wants. Like, I don't even think he'd want to be there, though. He considers himself, and he's slowly became, I don't know what game was his last game, but he's slowly gotten comfortable or adjusted to the game here.
Yeah.
And I don't think he wants to play in the American Hockey League, even if he had to.
It's fine that whether or not he wants to or not, but what's better for his development? Honestly, yeah. I think he would be farther along right now, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, but I don't know, because we've also heard too that he just wants, if he doesn't play in the NHL, he just wants to go back to the KHL then, right? So he might.
Well, those guys can always make that threat, right? So
yeah, him and Barabanov. Like Barabanov is kind of funny too, because he's been on and off of that taxi squad as well. But it's kind of weird with him because he seems to play better in the top six position, like even onto the third line, I guess. Rather than with the limited ice time being on the fourth line, you don't really notice anything, but he's played pretty well. So,
well, I would say that makes sense, though, because depending on the type of skill set that you have, if you're more of a skilled kind of guy, it's not benefiting you to have like limited minutes.
Yeah.
You know, especially when you're also trying to get used to a new league, new type of ice surface, language, all of these things. You're not going to get the most out of him there. So it's smart that they've actually moved him up a little bit, because that's where he's going to probably start to get more comfortable.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I mean, at least like we said, we do need it in case of injury, and we have been using it. So those players, I guess you know that like Sheldon Keefe and the staff are obviously they practice with the team and they stay with the team, but then it's just don't end up having that game action, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. So what's looking ugly, Chris?
So the ugly we had, it was the very first opportunity we had to watch the Senators that game, giving up 4 goals in the third period. It was a nightmare that the Leafs Nation has gone through so many times, unfortunately, but so many bad memories with the 4-goal lead. But yeah, that game on February 16 was just a disaster. And
can't argue with that.
I was just, we talked about it though, even before, because we said that series should be a 3-game sweep, which it should be all the time. But the Senators, when they play us, that's their Stanley Cup.
Yeah, basically. It seems like in Montreal too. Because Montreal can't seem to buy a game off of them either.
Yeah. They, as soon as after the game, and like if they win the game, then it's like they're jumping up and down. It's like, who knows, get the cup and come around go around the ice with it sort of thing as soon as they beat us. But like it shouldn't be that way. You're up by 4 goals. Like it's like they didn't learn their so many lessons, repeated lessons, right? I mean, at least it's the regular season. So whatever you learn from it again, I guess. But yeah, that was my ugly.
Yeah.
100%. And what's your ugly?
My ugly is, well, we've mentioned it a little bit here and there, but again, is the injuries that we just can't seem to catch a break. And it's causing issues like in games like that, you know, that it kind of reared its ugly head in that Senators game quite significantly. And you just can't get any flow when you got people in and out of the lineup all the time. So,
yeah. Although I do have to say, like, it's better with Auston Matthews with his wrist and whatever.
Well, yeah, we're okay. We seem to do okay when he's not in the lineup somehow. So,
But with him, and I think with Freddie, I think it's the groin, but I think I think the more time we can give them, and if we're playing okay and everything's good, then let them do what they need to do to get back to 100%. Basically.
Absolutely. Like we want them healthy and strong come April, May. Yeah. So that's the main thing. So,
yeah. All right. So last episode, we didn't have anything in the ugly, but now it came back. But there's also quite a few highlights. So let's roll the Ladies Talking Leafs highlight reel.
So in the third spot, we have Alex Kerfoot, giving him a little bit of love. He had a quiet 4-game point streak that started with the Sens series, and he got the game winning goal in the second game versus the Sens, which we won 2-1. So awesome for Alex Kerfoot.
Yeah, no, he's looking like, to me, he's looking more comfortable, and he's been versatile. Like he's moved up and down between like being center, being the winger with JT, even played with Matthews and Marner a couple of times, given all of our injuries that we've had. I just think that he's really performed the last couple of weeks. He's really upped his game, and which is good for us. And hopefully he plays on the PK too. He takes the draws on the PK. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so that's good. So, all right. So number two, God, can't get enough of this guy, Mitch Marner. Mm-hmm. Wow. What a difference. One half of the dynamic duo. Maybe not getting as much hype as Austin, but lately, now that Austin's been out, I guess that it's we definitely don't take him for granted anyways, me and Sil. No. 32 points, good for third spot in the league as of Monday. Mitch has had a couple of multi-point games versus the Sens and versus the Habs, and looks like he's having fun playing the game. And he also, he finished February a plus 17, tying Leaf alumnus Ron Ellis for the franchise record for the best plus minus in a calendar month by a forward. Ron Ellis had the same amount, plus 17 in December. But yeah, he averages 22 minutes a night, plays on the PK, plays on the power play. I mean, what more can we ask of the guy? Like, he just
not much
at all.
Yes. And then he's got big hugs for our goalies too at the end of the game.
Oh, yeah.
So you gotta love
time.
That.
Yeah.
And of course, number one on our highlight reel. Can you say enough about this guy, Austin Matthews? So it's kind of, he's kind of an obvious choice. I think he's going to hit the highlight reel many times. Since he was a player of the week ending February 21st, obviously, where he had 7 goals and 12 points. It's really unbelievable that he's been doing this while dealing with a wrist injury that's kind of been flaring up periodically for him. So, yeah, it's like, what more can we say about the guy? He's just firing on all cylinders. So, yeah. Austin.
And you know he wants to be in there again. Like, I don't think he's going to play tonight, but I think they're going to, whatever, keep it, just take it easy, I guess, on him and make sure that he's 100% when he does come back. But, yeah, no, he's been phenomenal. He's, like, the only thing he's going to probably have to get used to, I think, is what we were saying before. He may end up having Mitch Marner be on another line with JT when he does come back. I think they're going to try and spread out that offense a little bit. So,
Well, he'll be all right. He'll be all right.
Well, they're both drivers of the line. And then it's not to say that they'll never be back together again, right?
Like, no.
It's, I mean, if it doesn't work, then they're going back together. And I'm sure
and
the chemistry will happen again.
We're still getting if we still get the power plays, they're playing together on that anyway. So
it's all about
make their magic there.
Yeah. And in the end, they both know too, it's all about the team and winning.
Yeah. Which is, that's the one thing I was going to say is that I was like super happy to hear that. At the end of that game on Saturday, he was like so happy and he's in the dressing room and just like really stoked for the guys. So yeah, he's definitely a team guy. They all are. And we're loving the production and it's a clinic every night when you watch those guys. So you gotta love it.
Yeah.
And so obviously, hopefully he won't be out for too much longer. And like you said, he probably won't be playing tonight, but maybe he'll get in the lineup sometime this week during this trip out west, because it's going to be busy with 5 games in 8 nights. So let's get into what's coming up for the Blue and White.
Yeah. So like we said earlier, we're recording this on the Monday night. So we still got the 2 games left in the 3-game series versus the Oilers. Then we got, I guess, a back-to-back. It's the Oilers on Wednesday, and then Thursday we play the Canucks. And we have like a 2-game series with the Canucks Thursday and Saturday. And then back home the following week for a 3-game set versus the Jets, which we haven't seen the Winnipeg Jets in quite some time. And that one I'm actually very interested in seeing how we do there. And then we got 1 game versus the Sens in Ottawa on March 14 before we have, finally, we get a little bit of a break. We have 4 days after that off. Sheldon Keefe, I'm sure, will use it for practice and giving the guys a break. But yeah, I don't know. I'm thinking Freddie should be ready for one of the games in Vancouver. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, cross our fingers. As well as Austin. Austin might play on Wednesday, I'm thinking, but I don't know. I guess the Oilers, I don't know, I'm looking out tonight, hopefully everybody's saying how McDavid is going to be like a monster tonight, certainly, yeah. Because he didn't get any points the other night.
Pretty frustrated on Saturday, so we'll see if Bogosian can handle him like he did the other night. Like, I don't know, they were fantastic against him, and just really, you know, given his speed, they really managed to find smart ways to get him off his game and get in his way. So,
yeah.
I think that's obviously great scouting too on coaching staff's part as well.
I loved it when Hyman made the big move on him too at the end and scored the goal when he dipsy doodled around McDavid. That was fabulous. Zach Hyman, the next Connor McDavid. Woo-hoo. I don't know. He's sitting on his ass afterwards, but after he scored the goal, but it was still good.
Yeah.
Anyhow, So it's going to be, I'm sure the Oilers, they're now 6 points behind us. So they're going to want to close that gap again. But
yeah, definitely.
We'll see what happens. And then the Canucks are in a bit of turmoil out there. Actually, it's kind of funny because we're going to be going there. Mind you, there's no fans. So it's not quite as dramatic, I guess, right? Because they somehow think it's a rivalry, the Canucks Leafs games, the Canucks fans. It's
sure.
not, but whatever.
Whatever.
They're on a 2-game losing streak right now. Uh-huh. And everybody plays better when they play the Leafs. Like we all know that.
You can't take a night off against any team really, right?
Yeah. And technically the Canucks should be better than what they are. I don't know what the hell we don't pay attention that much to the other teams. I think they're having issues from their trades with their goalie. Obviously they're seeing Jacob Markstrom playing in Calgary. They're obviously realizing that he was maybe a little bit more important to keep him possibly. And they also traded Chris Tanev, which they're saying, is with, Quinn, is it Quinn Hughes?
Yes.
I think it's Quinn, right? Yeah.
Yep.
So with, they used to be a tandem anyways, but those changes apparently have made Canucks Nation, if that's what it's called. I don't know. they're not too happy about it anyways. So yeah, so we'll see how it goes there. But the more interesting series, I think, is going to be next week at home they're coming back home versus the Jets. And
100%. Like, because Winnipeg's really, really putting it together right now. So, that's going to be a really good gauge for us, I think. Because I think they are going to be trying to fight for that top spot.
Yeah. And we haven't seen Pierre-Luc Dubois, too, right? So,
right.
So that's going to be something I think he's been playing.
And there's just bad memories of him.
That's true. Yes, I didn't think of that. So that's the Jets game. And then there's 3 games that we have with them. So that'll be a good test for us. And then there's the Senators, that 1 game, which we better just blow them out because we don't.
Just put them back where in their place.
Yeah, exactly. So. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, are you looking forward to anyone in particular of those series?
No, I agree with you. Yeah. Like, I was going to say Winnipeg is the one to watch for me, especially because it's been a little while since we played them and there's been changes on their front, like you said, and they are looking pretty sharp right now. So, I think that's definitely a good gauge for us.
Yeah, so... It's a good gauge, and we're on top of the North Division, and we're number one in the league. Mm-hmm. So to top it all off, now this is what everyone's going to want to listen to now. This past week, we got to have some soup with the soup man, Ilya Mikheyev.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was funny how it worked out right in time for our 25th episode. And we won a contest sponsored by Campbell's Soup Canada and had the opportunity to be on a Zoom meet and greet with Leafs winger Ilya Mikheyev. It was actually a really, really fun fun thing to do. We all had our soup. They sent us soup. They're sending us some special sweatshirts with Ilya's face on it.
Yes. And I forgot to mention, actually, we have to get a picture together with that Because it's cool with the sweatshirts. Yeah, eventually, whenever we get them. Yeah.
Definitely. And it was quite the experience. We all had the opportunity. There was about another, you know, five people plus guests on the call. And we all had the opportunity to ask some questions. We asked him about, you know, what when he can, you know, take, you know, friends and family around again, where he would take them to have a taste of home as far as food goes. And of course, he couldn't stop talking about how much he loves Indian food now. So that's what he wants to take them to eat some Indian food and to try that. Of course, he probably hasn't had that much of an opportunity to really go around and find the great Russian spots in Toronto. But that was quite fun. So... We played a bit of trivia too, which was good.
Yeah, it was a really cool experience because it's not every day. I mean, I had a smile on my face and I remember Danielle.
Yes. Emmanuel, yeah, we got to interact with Danielle also from Leafs TV and the in-game host at Scotiabank Arena.
Yeah.
She was the moderator.
She was like saying, I have a smile on my face. And I'm thinking to myself, well, it's because you never get to meet a Leaf player. Like, even though he's on a call, you don't get to meet a Leaf player nowadays. Like, they're always hidden away. And what, you can't do, like, back in the old days, we used to go, there was open practices. You could always somehow catch a glimpse of Doug Gilmore somewhere or Wendell Clark or whatever. But nowadays, you can't do that. So yeah, I was just excited.
It's not as good accessibility anymore. And so to have the opportunity to, you know, basically sit down and talk with a player. And he was great. Like he had an interpreter, but he, you know, tried to speak English pretty much the whole time. He rarely used the interpreter. It was really, really fun.
Yeah, and I guess one thing I didn't know, I don't think you knew this too, was the jersey number. He had number 66 in the KHL.
I did know that.
Did you?
Then, yeah. I did, but then I got it wrong in the stupid trivia question. But I did know that. But I didn't know why he had the 66, why he chose to use that number.
Yeah, so he had it, I guess, after his mom's birth year. It was, I guess, 1966. And now he has 65 because of his dad's birth year. So he has that big, he has a connection with the family, obviously, and his mom and dad, which was great. But yeah, no, I actually thought Syl didn't think this, but we were talking before the show. I thought he was maybe a little bit nervous. I thought he did really well with the English, but I thought that, you know, but he didn't go to the interpreter. But for the first time, that's the first time ever that he's doing that. So for me, I thought it was great that he was like to interact with the fans. And so we're going to be getting a photo. I guess our photo, we're going to be getting it and we'll post it on social media. So when we get that in the next, hopefully by the end of the week, in the next little while anyways, look out for that. And so that was our special event to go along with our 25th episode. And so that's what we got for you today in this episode of our show. And we love interacting with our listeners on social media. So continue to give us your thoughts on the Leafs and our show.
Yes, and we would also really appreciate it if you would take a bit of time to give our podcast a review on whatever app you use to listen to us. If you don't already, you can follow us on social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook at LTL1917, and we'll keep you posted on what's going on with our Leafs. And you can also email us at ladiestalkinleafs@gmail.com to give us any feedback or ideas for future shows. As always, thank you to our healthcare workers for everything that they do. Everybody stay safe and well, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Go Leafs, go!